It's Saturday Live, and it's time for MediaWise, in association with Cumasún na mBan. Special guests each weekend talking about all aspects of media literacy, from social to traditional media, online safety and fact-checking. And Dr. Eileen Cullity is here this weekend, a researcher at the DCU Institute for Future Media and Journalism, to talk about disinformation. Would you agree that misinformation is escalating more so nowadays than ever before?
Well, it certainly feels like it, doesn't it? And of course, there's always been misinformation and disinformation and rumours and even conspiracy theories, but we just haven't been as exposed to them as much as we are now.
And do you put that down to modern technology, or are we just living in an age where people are going to stoop to whatever level they can to sort of get their misinformation across?
Well, I think technology is certainly the massive part of it. Like, people have always, you know, relied on lies and rumours to get an advantage for themselves. So like, human nature hasn't changed, but the capacity to lie and the capacity to try and trick people has increased massively.
We're entering a US election year in November. And I know even the last time we had a US election, there were a lot of issues with regard to what people were reading, seeing, hearing was legitimate or not. I mean, how do we as an everyday user approach this? How do we protect ourselves?
Well, one of the key things people can do is just try and remember to take a step back. Just to be even being aware of the issues is a major thing to do. So when you come across something, if it just doesn't sound quite right, you know, check it out, look up other sources, see if it rings true. Just take that step back.
When you read about people, for example, and I suppose a lot of this comes down to the pandemic, there seems to be a lot of news fatigue around it. People are not as forgiving of negative information or negative stories, are they?
Well, it's interesting because people talked about that a lot in the 1990s as well, when satellite news and 24-hour news started coming on stream, that things were becoming very focused on sound bites and politicians just make short little statements. So it's kind of a trend that's always been there. But I think definitely people are just extremely jaded because we just consume so much information. And a lot of what's happening in the world is very grim. So it is quite hard to take it all in sometimes.
There's always been wars. There's always been negative news around. Why do you think nowadays we're more inclined to turn off news?
I think there was always conflicts and terrible disasters and things like that, but you didn't necessarily hear and see about them all the time. And one of the very strange things about social media is how it mixes all kinds of content together. So you might be looking at something about who won the Oscars, and then you might see a bizarre story about the royal family, and then next thing you might see horrific images coming from Gaza or Ukraine. And it's just very hard for our brain to be always jumping around to all of those things. Whereas in the past, you know, the news was on at 9 o'clock. It was in your newspapers in the morning.
Yeah.
It was contained in certain slots.
Yeah, and we were sort of open to that period or giving that half hour of our day to see what was going on.
And you could anticipate, you know, I'm going to encounter some serious news stories now. It's very different when it just suddenly pops up. And in between entertainment and light news and maybe gossip from your friends.
The other thing that strikes me is that with people now consuming news on their devices, as opposed to, as you say, tuning into the 9 o'clock news, we're no longer getting our news from those trusted sources, i.e. BBC, RTE.
Well, it can be a mix of both. I think people still, mainstream outlets are still online, but it's just there's a wider range of sources. So it requires people to do more work and to think about, is this a legitimate outlet? Is what they're saying plausible? And some of them are. Like, some alternative and new online outlets are really good. It's just very hard for somebody who's no training in media whatsoever to maybe tell the difference.
Yeah, I mean, you must have watched with interest the result of the referendum over the weekend, given that it didn't quite go the direction a lot of people thought it would. And some people are saying that people power won out, that people weren't prepared to just vote, for example, yes, based on what the government was telling us. They were going to do their own research and maybe use their own minds on this.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's just a principle there that if you're confused about something, it's better, you know, to say no, which I think what happened in maybe the first Lisbon Treaty. I think what's interesting after the two referendums is the kind of battle now to put a narrative on it, with different sides claiming it's a victory for their what they did. But we won't know until research is done on why people voted. And fortunately now, with an electoral commission that type of research will be done. So I guess that's one positive to come out of it.
What advice would you give to somebody, for example, who is reading something they're not quite sure of, whether it's factual or not? Are there places we can go to have stories verified? What's your advice on that?
Well, here in Ireland, the journal.ie do fact-checking, so they would investigate claims that are gaining popularity and come to a conclusion about, you know, it might be some of it's true, some of it's taken out of context or so on. If some story is doing the rounds and it sounds quite alarming, well, then you could go and look at different sources like RTE or Journal or various news outlets. They're not going to all not cover something if something is happening. But also, I think it's just important to... It's very difficult for all of us to just think about, well, what are our own biases and why might we be willing to accept something? And have we asked ourselves, you know, is this really true? Is it just something I want to be true?
For those people, let's say, listening to this who say, you know, how can we be truly impartial? Or, you know, how do we take, for example, what they're saying as fact or not? Or is it a case of, as you say, the journal fact-checking, going straight to the source to ask if something is true or not?
But often even with fact-checks, the conclusion they come to is, well, there are bits of truth in it and bits have been taken out of context. Mm. I mean, rarely are things completely black or white. And often it takes a long time to find out whether something is true or not. And I think it's fine that we all have our own biases, things we're interested in, maybe things, causes we're committed to. We just have to be aware of them.
Where do you see things going in the medium term, let's say the next 5 years or so? Will some of those traditional organisations be phased out, do you think?
I don't think so, because the direction that technology is going is towards more AI generated content that is very convincing and very quick to create. So I think the online sphere is just going to be flooded with even more dubious information. And that means there is a good opportunity for more traditional media to reassert itself and say, well, you know, come back to us.
Yeah.
Whether they have the finances and capability of doing that and actually maintain people's trust is a different issue. But there is an opportunity there for them to say, look, we have trained journalists. We will be transparent and accountable about what we're doing so you can come and trust us. But they have to prove that they're trustworthy.
Yeah, which is important. I think you're right. I mean, with regard to AI, when you look at, let's say, AI 5 years ago, you could kind of tell that uncanny valley we all have. But nowadays, it's becoming harder and harder, isn't it?
Yeah, so with the faked images, they often say, well, look at the hands. And if you, I mean, to me, they often don't look that bad. But a professional photographer is able to quickly say, no, those hands don't look right. But this is very early days, so that will improve. The audio, faked audio, so you can take someone's voice and then recreate them saying whatever you want. That is very convincing.
Yeah.
So there'll be an issue around, you know, people trying to disprove things. And that's why I think people will come back to their own websites, their own verified content. You'll go direct rather than getting stuff from social media.
I think it's going to be a very interesting future ahead of us. No doubt you'll be close to that. Eileen Cullity, researcher at DCU Institute for Future Media and Journalism. Thank you so much for joining us on MediaWise this weekend.
Thank you very much.
MediaWise, every Saturday morning on Saturday Live in association with Cumasún na mBan, here to help you question and manage your own personal media environment. On Sunshine 106.8, Dublin's easy place to relax.